Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is Maggie and Perloff, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Fun times for the Golden State Warriors last night. Four titles in 8 years, and if you believe me, I think that the part two of the dynasty is just starting. Perloff thinks this was sort of the
last
culmination.
Dance. Yeah, like a last dance feel. A last dance, maybe one more dance. Maybe it was Kobe in 2009, but this not lasting four more years, Maggie.
We are on totally opposite sides of this, so let's talk to someone smarter than us. That is Jack McCallum, of course. He's an award-winning and best-selling author who has written books like The Dream Team and 7 Seconds or Less, and also Golden Days, West Lakers, Steph's Warriors, and the California Dreamers who reinvented basketball, to mention many, many others. Jack, thanks so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm a little bit intimidated by being called smarter than anybody.
Well, it's me and Perloff. The bar's not that high, Jack. We thought of you immediately as we're watching Steph Curry make even more history last night. And to put this in perspective, but first off, you're watching Game 6 of the Finals. You're watching Steph Curry do his thing. What's going through your mind as you're watching that game?
What's going through my mind, I think, you know, it was pretty clear. I think we can call them a dynasty, and we don't see that many. I mean, we got to go back to, I know this is my lifetime, but everybody knows the history. You have the Celtics and the Russell Celtics in the 50s and 60s. You have Michael's Bulls. You have the Showtime Lakers. You have the Spurs. Well, in the middle of none of those other dynasties did a team go 15 and 50 and completely disappear from the NBA. I looked up their final starting lineup in that season of 2019-20. For the Warriors' final season starting lineup, yeah, there were injuries. It was a COVID year. Was Andrew Wiggins, Damian Lee, Marquese Chriss, Michael Mulder, and Juan Toscano-Anderson. That was what we had at the end of the 20 Golden State Warriors. And here they are, losing the first game by being crushed in an avalanche, looked like they were dead. Draymond and Clay sleptwalked through a lot of the series, not last night, by the way. Draymond was great last night. But so it comes down to Curry. Curry was just amazing in that game. So my mind kept going back to how far they had to come back, even though it was an asterisk season with a lot of mitigating circumstances. That is pretty amazing to pull a franchise back to that level.
Jack, you made up some of those names. Michael Mulder? Are you sure you're talking about the pitcher on the Giants?
And I may be mispronouncing
no.
Marquese Chriss also. But Michael Mulder, you know, spelled his name like Michael Thompson. Actually, it's M-Y-C-H-A-L. So that was the starting lineup for their final game of the 2019-20 season.
Wow. So, Jack, help us settle this debate. Do you think there's more life in this particular Warriors dynasty, or is this maybe close to the end for Steph and Clay and Draymond?
Well, I got to pull halfway between you guys. I mean, Maggie did not suggest four more, did she?
No, I think two more, though, is on the table, Jack.
Two more to me is on the table. First of all, I don't think Clay was completely Clay. And so I think there's a lot of Clay left. Draymond is never, you're never going to get, you know, he's not Scottie Pippen. You know, he's not that guy that's going to get you, you know, make threes anymore. But the energy he showed in that game showed what he can do, you know, when they need him, three or four games like that. You have Poole, you know, and Wiggins apparently still has a ceiling to go. And Steph, I don't, he's not going to go back to 3 or 4 years ago. So I tend to pull into Maggie's camp on this one. I see no reason, you know, that conceivably they could not get two more out of this run, judging by this performance in this finals.
Well, my point, Jack, was like next year you're going to get Jamal Murray, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Zion Williamson, maybe the Matt. Like so much is coming back to the West. I felt like both Golden State and Boston maybe had like a bit of an easier run this year. Is that totally unfair?
That's not unfair, but this to me is a team with very, you know, with a very special sauce. I mean, you're looking at Steph. He doesn't, it's not like having Kobe back when Kobe won his final two with just like Kobe. You know, the two that Kobe won, I don't want to get the fight about Pau Gasol or Rick Fox. Or, you know, he had a supporting cast. So Curry's not that exactly Kobe. He doesn't look like that guy. But I tell you what, I was comparing him to guys like him. That is smallish scoring point guards. Tiny Archibald, Steve Nash, probably even Derrick Rose. You know, was only 6'2", 6'3". Tony Parker, Tim Hardaway. Isaiah, of course, from my era covering. Steph's numbers and Steph's superlatives compared to his genre of player is pretty amazing. I mean, I think he has elevated himself into being Steve Nash also. If you took the whole game, the fact that Steph rebounds and the fact that Steph still finds his way to assist and the fact that he can be annoying on defense, even if he's not a lockdown type of guy, you're looking at a team with a very special ingredient, along with Steve Kerr at the top, and with a couple more seasons of Clay and Draymond, and you know, still emerging Jordan. I'm more that they can still keep doing it, even with a stronger West.
Jack McCallum is our guest, of course. He's an award-winning and best-selling author, written books like The Dream Team in 7 Seconds or Less, and, of course, Golden Days, which is West Lakers, Steph Warriors, and the California Dreamers who reinvented basketball. But, Jack, that's not all you've done. I'd be shortchanging you. Obviously, you wrote for Sports Illustrated for so long. That's where you met Perloff and myself. And you took on the assignment, and this is not an easy one, of doing the 50 greatest players of all time. You made the list. You updated the list last time, I believe, in 2016. And this is where the conversation is going now. Where is Steph all time on that list? And I don't want to back into a corner or put you on the spot, but the last time you did the list, he was 31st. So I think that he's probably gone up quite a bit since then. But would you put him as a top 10 player right now?
Well, this is, As you guys know, I'm sure, when you make lists, this is the easiest way to put yourself in a target.
Yes. Right in the eye of the storm, Jack.
Yeah. There is still a guy who, if he saw me out on the street, because I had Kobe too low in his opinion, and he was probably correct, by the way, there is still a guy that would, you know, well, I'm not even going to surmise what he would. For a while, he was on my Twitter chain like every morning. You know.
Oh good. Boy.
Anyway, so this is very, very, very difficult, and things do change, perception change, and people are very, very good at screaming, "Why isn't he on your All-Star team? Why isn't he in your top 10?" Without saying who they would kick off.
Right.
Know, this was a big thing about the Dream Team. Well, what about James Worthy? You know, Dominique Wilkins, Isaiah, well, okay, beside Christian Laettner, who do you want to kick off, pal? Anyway, right. But you asked me the question, so here I am. The difficulty of this is, to me, emphasized by the fact that only one of these four players, in my the way I have it so far, could make it. Steph Curry, if he does, Wilt Chamberlain, Shaquille O'Neal, and Jerry West, all of whom, for varying reasons, I have enormous affection and respect for. If Steph makes it, with the other nine I have in there, one of those three doesn't. And, however, we're talking about this the day after the finals. It's June,
17th.
Yeah, 17th. You're always a product of what you feel at the moment, how you feel the game is gone. And I think Steph has stuck his foot into that pantheon, along with Michael, LeBron, Kareem, Magic, Russell, Oscar, Duncan, Kobe, Bird. I think he has put his toe in there because, for me, he is a revolutionary player. And I just don't think there's many of those. To me, Russell was one, completely changed the game. Block shots, okay, we can now get a fast break off of defense. I think LeBron was a revolutionary player in terms of put your big guy from the second quarter on, can run the game and still sort of somehow be called a forward, gets whatever mismatches he wants on the outside. I think that LeBron was a little bit revolutionary doing that. But to me, there's not that many revolutionary players. I think Steph is one of them. Completely changed the game, turns it into a 94-foot game. If people want to bitch about it and say there's too many people in junior high taking threes because of Steph, not his problem. I think it's opened up the game completely. The book I did on the Suns in 05 and 06, part of their appeal was that wherever they went, there was a chance the game was going to be fun, that we were going to see something different. It's not that simple with the Warriors anymore, but it's a little bit like that. And I think for those reasons, along with just his pure numbers, his leadership in bringing that franchise back, not that he did it alone. Nobody ever does it alone. But I'm going to put Steph at this point on June 17th. I will say that he has stuck his foot into the pantheon.
Jack, Maggie and I were laughing today because I woke up this morning and heard a bunch of Wilt Chamberlain versus Steph Curry debates.
Yeah, like, just, how?
The physical dichotomy of the two. But I do think there is something like, I think people who didn't see Wilt, and I'm from Philadelphia, so I have a maybe different view, but like it's hard to categorize Wilt Chamberlain with other players because we see the 50 points per game and the 100-point game. How do you help people understand where Wilt fits in this whole big picture?
Well, I'm a Philly guy, too. The first right. games that I ever went to were doubleheaders in convention hall, where you couldn't see for the cigarette smoke. But anyway, I'm starting to date myself. There was nobody, a complete anomaly. There's no, like, second chapter to Wilt. You know, Shaq really isn't it. You could even argue their centers, you know, sort of like Bill Russell, who once again I thought was revolutionary. Nobody won like Russell. But Wilt was just this complete anomaly in the game. They had to, change rules. You've been through all that, I'm sure, because of the guy. So there's no way to explain him. But Wilt, I think, ultimately get probably the most shortest shrift, and I'm probably giving it to him here, because he didn't win quite as much as we thought he should win, commensurate to his abilities and prodigious statistics that he put out there. I think that will ultimately be sort of the first line of Wilt, and it's kind of a shame for anybody that saw him live, as did I.
Jack, thank you again for making time for us today. And you know, we always appreciate you weighing in on these topics. And you know, you've been around just the best basketball players of multiple generations. And you've been around just so much greatness, you know, whether it was the Dream Team or, you know, the Celtics. You talked about the Phoenix Suns. I mean, getting all the time you did with Jerry West for the book and Steph Curry. And there's just so much that you have gotten to see and you got a front row seat for. Is it obvious that Giannis is the next great thing? But is there another player that you watch now that you think is going to be, like, the next great? Like, do you see greatness in another young player, I would say, besides Giannis? I think we can all agree with that. And do you think Jason Tatum has the ability to be in that category coming off of, for him, I would say, you know, pretty disappointing finals?
The player that really, really, this is not exactly revelatory, but the player that really, really, you know, the proverbial sports writer, who would a sports writer pay for? I mean, they never pay to watch anybody play, but, you know, you have certain guys that you would pay for. I always said that I would play. And this gets down to, I think, your own prejudices of what you kind of like to see. I always like to see out on the floor type of guys, you know, guys that more than dominant big centers. I mean, we just got done talking about Wilt, but I, you know, to me, it was always the Kevin Durant, Greg Oden debate to me was always, what? You're going to take Greg Oden over to... No, you're not going to take Greg Oden over Durant. I'm sorry. And I was, you know, probably one of the few times I was correct. You know, you got to take Kevin Durant. Anyway, to me, it's Ja Morant. And I, you know, what he did, I mean, he took a team. We didn't think anything about Memphis. So it's hard to, is he going to get himself to a team where he's got, you know, not that his supporting cast, quote, wasn't bad, but is he going to get with the team to be in a position to win? Because to me, he looks like big-time entertainment value, a big-time guy who can really, you know, get it done in the clutch. And this game, you know, it's supposed to be fun. You know, we're supposed to smile when we see it. And to me, he's the most special guy. Obviously, Giannis, from the standpoint of dominating both, you know, rebounding, blocking shots, never mind scoring. Obviously, it's going to be Giannis. But for me, to me, the special guy with special sauce is Ja Morant.
Awesome. Jack, again, thank you so much. Happy Father's Day to you. Thanks for making time for us, as always. And we'll catch up with you again soon.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right. Thank you. I love when we get to talk to Jack.
Oh, my gosh. I love, you know, he knows so much NBA history, but he can communicate in a way like that makes so much sense. Like, sometimes people talk about the old-time players, and you can't connect with what they're saying.
Yeah.
But Jack clearly understands this era of basketball just as well as anybody, too.
Absolutely.
It's awesome.
Amazing. All right. We got to take a quick break. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up, the one person catching the most heat for the Warriors' win, I'll give you a hint, not even in Celtics green. We'll get to that in just a minute. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff straight ahead.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there
there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back on Maggie and Perloff, thanks to Jack McCallum, legendary NBA writer, still churning out projects. Unbelievable.
Yeah, says Steph is all-time top 10 now, after this.
I saw his book on the Dream Team they're making into a show, I believe.
Yeah, on Paramount Plus.
Which would be amazing.
I know.
I like this, like, Winning Time, Dream Team.
This is right.
Yeah, like, I think this Warriors team we're watching now will be either a great documentary or a great show at some point.
I know, and I think if you were going to make, like, a show about the Warriors, like, let's just storyboard this thing out. If we were watching a fictionalized version of this, as the Warriors are winning the title, there would be a camera on the Kevin Durant character. Because Durant is definitely going to catch a little shrapnel today. And you know what? Last night, honestly, the Warriors were so honest in the glow of their euphoria of winning the title. I mean, Draymond Green admitted to Yahoo Sports that, of course, you would think that this would be validating for Steph to win without KD. Now, unfortunately, we don't have sound for this. He just said it right to Yahoo. But let me just read what Draymond Green said about Kevin Durant and Steph Curry yesterday to Yahoo. He said, ultimately, when Kevin came here, the main person who has to sign off on that is Steph. So to open your door, to open your arms and accept someone with open arms, and it goes great, and it's short-lived, it's a slap in the face. Then Green corrects himself. Okay, not necessarily a slap in the face. When someone chooses to do something else, but a slap in the face like, I opened my home to you. I brought you into this. I made you a part of this. I wanted you to be a part of this until we couldn't do it anymore. Then you're going to want to go and do something else. He said, no hard feelings, no ill will. You want to do what's great for you. It's a brotherhood. But if you're a competitor and the competitor in you is going to want to prove you wrong, want to show you that you made a mistake. And I think that's like a very honest way to put it, that Kevin Durant made a mistake. If it was indeed about winning championships and about being a part of, I mean, I think it's obvious, right? Don't we have to call the Warriors like the best run organization? They obviously have this incredible culture. I know we talk about heat culture and stuff like that.
Coaching staff, great.
Steve Kerr with 9 rings now combined. I mean, the front office, how they were able to, restock this with talent around the core three. So I don't know. I feel like Kevin Durant probably does feel like he's missing out. And I do see what Draymond's saying. Steph was the one who said, let's do this. And then you stay for 3 years and leave. What's up with that?
Well, 3 years in NBA, that's not that short
a
time.
Yeah,
that's
NBA.
That's a whole LeBron. That's three quarters of a LeBron term. But I think the way I kind of read what Draymond said is like, yes, that's another thing that I think the Warriors were using for motivation. I mean, they were obviously like they were using Brian Windhorst and Kendrick Perkins.
Yes.
And so definitely they would probably, do you think maybe they were using this as a inspiration? Like we want to show KD made a mistake by leaving?
So I think it goes deeper than what someone says on First Take or whatever.
Yeah.
Like this is somebody, yes, you opened up the doors for Kevin Durant and said, come on. They're not going to the Hamptons and recruiting Kevin Durant if Steph says no, right? Like, he does have that much power in the organization.
That's all true, but I don't think, like, I know, I think Draymond has a much more complicated, like, relationship with KD. We've seen it play out. Like, they have not stopped talking about this departure long past. I think a lot of people stopped caring about KD leaving the Warriors. Like, to me, this is where I think you and I differ. It was such a no-brainer to leave the Warriors.
I don't understand.
Like, what the heck was he doing? Like, Kevin Durant cares about his legacy at all. Of course he had to get out of town. Otherwise, he would just be this back of the bus guy, as Barkley said, or middle of the bus, wherever he was.
Okay, is it better to be, what do you say, he needs to be the bus driver? He's not the bus driver.
Yes, he clearly did.
Better to be the guy who's winning titles and tasting that champagne again, or someone who got swept out of the first round?
Well, you're basing it on the result. Is it better, like, you know, what if KD had won in Brooklyn, which is very plausible, then it would have been better to go to Brooklyn, right? If that's the only... I mean, like, KD knew what he was doing.
I have to base it on the result because it hasn't happened yet. Like, he has not won a title yet for whatever reason. We can talk about Kyrie Irving. We can talk about injuries. Whatever it is, Steph is there overcoming injuries to Klay. I know they were 2 years down trying to, you know, have Wiggins as a reclamation project, getting something out of Gary Payton II, who was like in every G League team in America, you know, getting meaningful minutes in a game six out of Jordan Poole. I mean, they're literally doing it, whereas Kevin Durant has not had that yet in Brooklyn. You can talk about, you know, the pieces are there, but show me the result.
Well, would you have said this in 2021 when KD had this Herculean effort and was becoming the most praised player in the NBA? Like, you wouldn't have said, and the Warriors were sort of down on their luck. Like, I think that's what I'm saying. You're playing the result. Like, you can't say because they won the title.
Well, I would say until now, or up and until Kevin Durant wins one. Like,
but last year, would you have said this? Though it didn't feel as strongly that KD made a mistake. Felt like he did the right thing last year. So it's
okay. But which way do you think that the Nets are going?
Well,
are we talking about them on the doorstep of a dynasty? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. But I don't think, like, it wouldn't matter. Like, KD could have been here. They wouldn't have won. They would have gotten back this year and won one. They probably wouldn't have won the 2 years before because, like, everybody was hurt. So I don't know. It's not like, they did win this one, but it's not like KD is missing, like, the 90s Bulls. It's not like they're going to win six in a row. And besides, like, honestly, like, KD's biggest problem is this image that he left Oklahoma City, where he was the leader, to be the B player.
Okay, but
it's killing him. I'm sure it is.
But think about, like, you would have to just look at the team that is around KD now and say, like, you chose unwisely. You know, you chose to attach yourself to Kyrie Irving, who is an all-time great player. I'm not saying that. Kyrie is excellent, but Kyrie is not reliable. You know, you wanted James Harden, move heaven and earth for James Harden. James Harden ends up coming there and then basically quits on the team. I mean, that's awful. Now you got Ben Simmons. Who knows if Simmons is going to ever step on the floor for the Brooklyn Nets? If he did, it'd feel like a minor miracle.
Yeah, I mean, there's no guaranteed. He took a risk. I want to leave a team. I want to try and do it on my own. And, like, I doubt you were ripping everything that he did in the Nets. I mean, it was
on my own.
He wanted to do it on his own. So he went to Brooklyn where he bought these top 75 all-time NBA players. Like, on its surface, like, honestly, Maggie, were you like, oh, my God, I can't believe KD left comfy Golden State to go to Brooklyn and build a dream team? Probably not. Most of us were like, okay, I see what he's doing.
No, I honestly really didn't, because it was such a juggernaut of a team with KD on the Warriors. It was such, I mean, they would have, nobody knows because of injuries, and Klay got injured, and of course KD himself got injured. But, like, why wouldn't KD have been able to rehab, come back? He's come back and he's an excellent player. They could have been ripping off titles.
So wait, but did you really feel that last year? When the Nets were the heavy favorites to win the NBA title and the Warriors were not even a playoff team, you were saying to yourself, KD should have stayed in Golden State?
No, but I always appreciated the Warriors culture and always appreciated that they were a smart team and they were an invested team. I'm not saying that Josiah, as the owner of the Nets, is not invested. Clearly, they were willing to take on Harden. They're trading away first-round picks left and right. They're all in, but that was like... KD kind of followed Kyrie to Brooklyn. Like, he has no...
It made a ton of sense at the time. I mean, he did build... They had, like, what people called a dream team. Like, there was a lot of talent.
I know, but look...
Much, like, much more than Golden State.
Okay, I mean, so you want to say the process of his thought process was sound.
Sound. Like,
it's just the results have been bad. And where does that leave you, though?
Yeah. Well, but, okay, and the other question is, like, say Al Horford had fallen on Steph Curry's foot an inch to the left and Curry was out. Like, it's... I feel like we're playing the result.
Okay,
here.
But I'll ask you this. Do you think that Kevin Durant sits at home and watches that last night and thinks what?
I think in his brain, I don't think he has any regrets leaving Golden State.
Okay.
But just because of the legacy thing. I think that Barkley thing really hurt his feelings about how Kevin Durant has been a bus. What is it? A bus rider?
Yeah, I think
instead
he said
a bus driver.
A bus rider.
Yeah.
Technically, I think you're just a passenger.
What would KD's legacy be with four or three Golden State titles?
But at the end of the day, when his career is done, and say he doesn't win a title with the Nets, do you think anyone's going to give him brownie points for going out with Kyrie? Like, he's not going to get the credit for
that.
No,
but he's going to try to win a title for the next 5 years in Brooklyn and probably try another team, too. Like, yeah, I think ultimately it was worth the risk for him. It's a risk. It's anything in the NBA. There's no guaranteed.
Of course not.
Except when LeBron joined Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh.
Even that first year they lost in the
finals.
And
I remember we killed LeBron for joining a super team. We killed Kevin Durant for joining a super team. We probably should have killed him for joining a super team in Brooklyn. He had to be, we're talking about top 10 players of all time. Nobody talks about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant had, if his shoe was a little smaller, and he had led the Nets past the Bucks.
Yeah, then he's probably in a top 10 conversation.
But
I still think he's kind of around there, though.
See, he's around there, but he's definitely a few spots below Curry.
Well, here's a question. If he had stayed with the Warriors, and he's the one who gets the finals MVP for a third time.
Yeah, no way. Nothing. Nothing.
Not going to be considered a top 10
all-time. Well, I mean, okay. Like, they did a bunch of top 10 lists in 2020. I'm sure. I'll bet you Curry was one spot ahead of Durant in most of them. He has one more title.
I don't know, but as like a full basketball player, don't we think that KD is like the more complete package?
No, I mean, Curry and the Warriors whooped on them in the 2010s.
No, I get it, but I'm just saying, like, just take Durant himself, his skill set.
Now, see, I think you say that, but like, you know, when Curry was at his peak, which isn't now, like 40 feet and beyond, like it was just so unstoppable. I think that was more unique. KD was like a 2-point game in a 3-point era, a little bit. Now, I don't think like.
But also a better defender. KD could be on your other team's best player.
But we know KD single-handedly is not going to lead anyone to a title. He's going to need some help.
Yeah. Well, everyone needs help, but yes.
Except Steph this year.
Well, Steph, who was the bus driver this year. That's
for
sure.
That's what really what this debate is about. Bus driver versus bus rider. Which doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right. It's bus driver versus passenger. Why don't we just call it that?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Bus passenger?
I don't know. Is this more like a van? I'm not sure.
By the way, KD is probably, apparently everybody's listening to every sports talk right here.
So. Little did we know, all of this stuff is being banked for some kind of future trophy ceremony. Samter, you look like you want to say something. What do you got?
I don't know. I said this in the break. I see what these Warriors are doing and holding on to these receipts quietly. And then like, oh, when we win, like, let me like show you all these receipts.
Yeah.
At least to KD's credit, he calls people out at the time. So if he falls in his face, it hurts more. But when he wins, it means more because he actually like was calling people out at the time. I don't know.
So you think that Klay Thompson should have called out Jaren Jackson Jr. for the
100%
in the moment when he tweeted
To call somebody out when you're on top feels just like, I don't know, it just feels unsportsmanlike.
Have you ever heard of the term "to the victor goes the spoils"?
Sure.
I mean, I think it's kind of interesting that they're able to bottle it up. It never gets out. And then we didn't even realize that Steph Curry is watching First Take, watching Kendrick Perkins put a zero up to his eye, that he said this is how many titles that Curry's going to win.
Wow. What would have been better is if they never even, like, if they had these receipts, were holding on to it, and just, like, they won the title, and they just won with grace. Now, by, like, throwing out all the receipts and hey, guys,
the petty king.
Here we are.
That's what he said.
They're
the petty king.
No, it jumped out to me. Like, if that tweet from Jaren Jackson Jr. bothered Klay Thompson, like, why would like Michael Jordan or Larry Bird trash talk, which was supposed to be like level 100 cruel, like how would that affect Klay Thompson? Like, it feels like a little.
Would they able to get out of bed?
I mean, you got to wonder, like, that made Klay Thompson that mad?
Freaking bum.
I think they psyched themselves up. They psyched themselves up, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, Jordan didn't even need Larry to trash talk him. He was inventing it in his own mind.
No, but Jordan would have trash talked Klay so bad to the point that Klay would have been crying. Like, if Jaren Jackson bothers him, have you ever heard what Jordan would say to people, even on his own team?
How about Gary Payton? I mean, some of the all-time legendary trash talkers, it would have make you blush.
Yeah, I mean, Larry Bird, like, was supposed to be so cruel to his opponents. Like, he would score and tell you about it the whole time. So Jaren Jackson, Oh, my gosh.
Well, you remember that moment in The Last Dance where Michael and Larry embrace, and he's like, you bleep, 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 you know, and they are both cursing at each other, like, under their breath?
Yes.
Yep. Now it's you tweet at somebody, and then you call him a bum.
Yeah.
Freaking bum.
It's also in HBO's Winning Time. They do show Larry Bird where he tells the guys, I'm going to take three dribbles to the left and hit a jumper in your face. Like, that. Those guys could trash talk. People are soft now. They're soft. Social media has ruined everybody.
Hold that.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. We've been talking a lot of basketball on the show, rightfully so. But coming up next, Jerry Jones did not hold back on this one topic. You got to hear what he had to say next. It is Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, bottom of the hour, sort of. Apologies for being late. Here's the latest CBS Sports update with Mike McCann.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So we're having an interesting debate before we came on just now. Dan Walken in USA Today wrote a column about how this was one of the most flawed champions, that this was way, way worse than the earlier part of the dynasty. And I agree with that. Like, I think obviously the KD Warriors were better, but I think the 73 team win, the early Warriors.
The 73-9 team that did not win.
Or, because Steph hurt his knee in the playoffs. But, like, or the year before that, like, that team would have demolished this team based on the fact that Klay is a shadow of himself right now. He might be better next year. Draymond is a shadow of himself. And I know Wiggins played well, but they had Wiggins-like players. Like, this is not the same. To me, this is not the same dynasty team that we knew from the earlier run of the dynasty.
Okay, but I don't get how that's used as a negative. It's like, okay, so your one team wasn't as good as your other team. The 98 Bulls were better than the 93 Bulls, whatever you want to say. Like, we're comparing against, but does it matter? Like,
but see, the Bulls, like, I don't think that's true. I think all six of those title teams were really dominant. And, like, I don't think there was a dip for a significant dip. Maybe, I remember this with Rose Keller's 90 glasses.
No, of course. But, like,
but they were all dominant.
But there was, like, a dip for the Warriors in general, but that's sort of why we're saying this is a different kind of win for them. It does, like, all the players last night are like, this hits different. It hits different because of the lows that they went through, you know, and now they're back up on top. Yeah, they're not as good as a previous iteration, but that to me doesn't mean they can't win next year or win another title or two. It doesn't mean they can't get better.
See, to me, that definitely could happen. Right. But to me, it points to what I've been saying all week. Like, this is going to be a hodgepodge of NBA champions over the next 10 years. Like, this Warriors team just sort of fell into this one. Like, I'm telling you, there are so many, as Dan pointed out, there's always a changing of the guard in the NBA. Players get older, and the next generation comes up. That next generation is knocking at the door right now. They just haven't figured it out. So the Warriors will hopefully get in one or two more, but then it's going to be Ja, it's going to be Luka, maybe Embiid, Giannis, like, those young players are going to figure out how to win titles and knock these Warriors out. But it's got to happen at some time.
Maybe. Yeah. No, it's going to. But I don't know if it's going to happen with the frequency that you do, because as we saw with this Warriors-Celtics final, there has to be stock put into being there before and understanding what it takes to win, because you and I will both say that the Celtics may have top to bottom been the better team, but the Warriors in the last three games were clearly the much better team, because not only did they win all three of those games, but just they understood. I hate to be like the cliche person, the championship medal, like, that did come into play in this series. So why wouldn't it come into play as the Warriors continue on next year and the year after?
Because, like, they were the number three seed in the West this year, a very, very down West. Like, they might not, you know, they could run into a really talented team earlier in the playoffs where, like, say Suns got their act together. Say next year, like Kawhi and Paul George and that supporting cast.
Yeah, let's see them be healthy. I mean, also the regular season. I mean, come on. Who's talking? Who cares about the regular season anymore? That's a problem for basketball, by the way. I'm not saying it's a great thing, but like Klay didn't even come back until January. Draymond missed a ton of time. Like nobody cares about the regular season anymore. To say like that, that's what makes a great team. Yeah. I don't know if anyone puts stock into that. It's all about load management and making sure you're ready for the playoffs.
So like, you honestly, when you look at this team on paper, like it really scares you next year when you're looking at like all those teams that they might have to get through. Can you? They might get like, what if the Lakers are healthy?
Yeah. What if the Bucks are healthy? There's all those what ifs.
Forget the East. Yeah. I know. And what if the Warriors have a lot of players with deep injury histories, including Steph.
Like, I know, but so do the other teams in the Western Conference. Yeah. Kawhi Leonard has a deep. Paul George for
right.
sure.
That's my point. They're all in the same bucket. Like it's not like it was in 2015. I'm like, well, clearly the Warriors are going to be here 5 years in a row. That was obvious.
Yeah.
It does not feel to me. It doesn't feel that way. And also too, this is just a function of age. These guys last night, you could tell like they're like it means a lot more because we're getting near the end.
Okay, it definitely felt like it was a. I'm not going to say that they couldn't. Rip off one or two more titles. Yeah. I think could be two, and it will set up as 3-3, and that's maybe how we'll remember.
Oh, all right. There is no way this team wins two more titles. That is
big
such
board
a hurt
of disagreements. Now we had to erase Al Horford off the board.
Well, I disagree with that too. I mean, Al Horford was amazing last night,
but without the win, he's not walking into Springfield. So unfortunately, Al Horford had to get erased. As much as we like him personally, he had to get erased. Nick is in Portland. Wants to weigh in on this. Hi, Nick. How are you?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
We're doing great. What's on your mind?
I was just calling to thank Andrew Perloff for continuing to doubt the Warriors through the finals. And we all know Andrew's track record. You know, he just kept doubting, and then they won. But also, I think secretly, Andrew, maybe you watched a few YouTube videos and was watching some Philadelphia Warriors highlights and secretly became a fan and then supported the move. Where were we go so they can win? I don't know.
Any truth to the rumor? Nick, thank you for the call, that you were up late watching Philadelphia Warriors highlights on YouTube.
I don't know. It kind of sounded like Nick wrote that out, and I don't even totally know what he's talking about.
Not sure, but just curious.
Yeah. What's the question?
Are you a mush?
No, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I was like 55% for NFL last year. Like, I don't traditionally know. Like,
you picked the Celtics in this series.
Yeah, I did. But I wasn't like super confident about it. I don't know.
Yet you want to chastise the Warriors for not coming out in the moment when they have the receipts, but you were sitting on, I'm not right. I was like 50-50 on the Celtics.
Like, I didn't
the
actually,
day after they lose.
Yeah, like the only real bets I made during this was I kept betting under on Jason Tatum's 28.5 point total. I never felt like I want to put a lot of money. Like, yeah, you guys can try and create a narrative where I'm the mush, but it doesn't mean anything to me because that's not going to affect my wallet in any way.
No, I don't see you as a mush, if that makes you feel better.
But Nick in Portland, like, what are you talking about, dude?
Let's sneak in here a little Cowboys quickie. We got some news coming out of Dallas. All right, well, Jarrah was busy taking on the mayor of Dallas. What is hilarious to me about the story is that the mayor of Dallas floated this idea about having a second team in the Metroplex area like a month and a half ago. How Jerry's just getting around to it now. He said this to Calvin Watkins of the Dallas Morning News. Well, I like the mayor. I like him personally, but he doesn't have the depth. He doesn't have the knowledge that others have regarding how unique Dallas is and how we enjoy the interest in the Cowboys. He wouldn't want to water down that as it relates to Dallas if he knew as much and has spent as much time in sports as I have. Jerry laying down the gauntlet there. Listen, the mayor came back and said, I'm just trying to make as much money for the city as possible. Another team would make a lot of money, and that's what was behind it. So there you go. Little Cowboys quick. Oh. I love that part. We also have an update, too, where Jerry Jones was also saying no truth to the rumor they were ever interested in Sean Payton. I'm like, why even waste the breath denying this? No one's going to believe it. Just no comment, you know?
Jerry is strangely loyal, though, we have no idea what he's really thinking. Like, he's like, we all call for Garrett to be fired like 4 years before he got fired.
Yeah. Jason Garrett now taking a spot in the media. It's going to be on NBC.
Yeah, I don't know.
In the studio.
Jerry's super predictable on coaching. Yeah, obviously Sean Payton makes sense. And if Mike McCarthy cannot love him being out there and Dan Quinn being right next to him, not a great situation.
No, I wouldn't feel great if I were Mike McCarthy. Because Sean Payton could come back after a year. Nobody, I think, would be too surprised about that. And yeah, Dan Quinn obviously has experience being head coach of the Falcons.
Also, by the way, if I'm Sean Payton, I'm not sure that I want to go to work for Jerry next year.
Well, it turns out he was, someone made calls about the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, if I'm Sean, like, you might have, if you want to get out of the broadcast booth immediately, like, there's probably going to, well, I don't know, maybe Dallas is the best offer, but you could probably have your choice of 10 teams.
I think so, too, because going into the broadcast booth, not that Sean Payton needs it, but it instantly makes you a better coach than you ever were, you know, because you're in the broadcast booth, you're up there, you know, second-guessing everything. It's like you got all the answers to the test while the other coaches are simply down on the sidelines, you know. God knows what they're thinking. You can criticize everything, and everyone believes that you're like the second coming. Now, the thing is about Payton, he was already alleged, you know, reportedly was going to get $100 million from the Miami Dolphins. Because I would say hold out for like the Gruden money, but it turns out he was already going to get the Gruden money.
Wait, Sean Payton, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'd like to see like that actual contract. Just because this was discussed and Mike Florio writes about it 17 times
a day. No, Albert Breer.
Albert Breer, like, I don't know. Was he really offered $100 million?
I don't know. I mean, I only know what the reporting says. Perloff wasn't in the room.
So why
wish I was.
Why is Sean Payton not there if this is all true? Because the Saints wouldn't let him?
Maybe that's part of it. I think. A lot of different possibilities. Maybe some theories. One day they'll all tell us. It always comes out in the book. That's for sure. Coming up, who's to blame for Boston's loss? We're going to get to that in just a moment. Maggie and Perloff hanging with you on this Friday, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.